Blog Talk Radio.
Our Lord and our Savior, our God and our Redeemer, the lover of our souls and the rock of our faith. I want to say happy Sabbath, family, and I pray that you had a blessed Passover. I really enjoyed the family last night for Passover, and I pray that we didn't get too big a buzz for those of us who were drinking wine. Yah is good and greatly to be praised, and we are to just to lift him up and to glorify his name, for this is the Feast of Unleavened Week, starting with Passover last night. So I pray that you have are in observance in the scriptures. This would be the first day of unleavened, but we know that it is actually Passover. That's the first day. And we are to continue within this week in celebrating the Feast of Unleavened. So we pray that you are able to observe, that you have had a blessed day, and that you are ready to eat from the word of Elohim. This is, I don't even know how to say this, but I'm just feeling good in my spirit. So I pray that all of you are well. We greet you in Pal Talk and Blog Talk on the internet in general. I want to say peace and blessings to Sister Mary and Sister Denise.
Shalom, brother.
Shalom.
Shalom.
You guys have a blessed day today?
Yes, we did, brother, and a blessed day was yesterday, too. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Anybody else on the line that would like to say shalom this day? All right. Amen. I am just looking forward to, you know, a blessed time in Yah.
Amen.
He is our reason for being. So happy Sabbath.
Happy Sabbath to you, brother.
Thank you. Let us go ahead and do our statement of faith, and we will pray in and jump into this precept. Our statement of faith: I believe that all scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim, and is profitable for doctrine and for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. I believe all holy men must be inspired and directed by the Spirit of Yah, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20 and 21. I believe there is one Elohim, according to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. I believe that Yeshua is the manifest Son of Yah, according to Luke chapter 1, verse 35. I believe I am a new covenant child of Yah, according to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. I believe I am of the royal priesthood, according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I believe I am chosen and directed by Yah, according to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. I believe I am a child of Yah and of the seed of Abraham, according to Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 through 29. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me, according to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. It is my whole duty to fear Yah and keep his commandment, according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12. And verse 13. Let us give the Most High a hand clap of praise today. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Yah. We just want to lift you up, Father, and glorify you and give you honor and praise. Father, we bow down to you and we submit ourselves 100%. Hallelujah. But truly, you are Elohim and you are Elohim all by yourself. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Yah. We thank you for this years past your Father for keeping us safe. We thank you for your Passover, Father, for your gift to us, for delivering us, hallelujah. Not only out of Egypt, but hallelujah, but out of sin, Father. Without you, there was no way. Father, we just want to thank you right now for providing a way for us. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Ooh-wee. Hallelujah. Let me have the sisters to cover their head. Brothers, uncover your head. Let us turn toward the east. Holy hands raised to the Most High Elohim. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your loving kindness and your tender mercy. We thank you for life and health and strength today. We thank you for the opportunity to once again come together and to break bread and to observe your Shabbat, a day of rest that you have ordained, that your people will keep perpetually throughout all time. Father, we ask that you forgive us our sin, as we forgive those that have sinned against us. We ask that you lead us not into temptation, but that you deliver us from evil. We ask that you hold not the iniquities of our forefathers against us, for they are all gone by the way of the grave, and we are still yet here, seeking to keep your statutes, your laws, and your commandments, in spirit and in truth. Father, you have said that your people Israel have done wickedly, and they have walked contrary to you, and that you have walked contrary to us. And you said that if we would but turn from our wicked ways, and repent from our sins, and not complain about the punishments that you have placed upon us by scattering us throughout all the nations of the world, that you would once again turn your eyes and your ears toward your people Israel. So, Father, we acknowledge that we have done wickedly and we have walked contrary to you, and that we have repented from our sins, Father, and returning from our wicked ways. And we ask that you would once again turn your eyes and your ears toward your people Israel, Father, because we won't complain about the punishment that you have placed upon us by scattering us throughout all the nations of the world. But our testimony will be, this is what happens to you when you disobey the Most High Elohim. Father, we pray for Israel that is asleep, that you might wake them and give them an unction to come and keep your statutes, your laws, and your commandments. We pray for Israel that is awake, that you might give us a meek and a humble spirit, a spirit of love, for you are love. Now, Father, as we go to work in the kingdom, we ask that you smile upon this work, that you would give us favor in all that we do. In the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, we pray. Amen and amen.
Yeah.
All right. Let's go to 1 Kings. The book of 1 Kings, chapter 8. We'll start in verse 46. If they, Israel, sin against thee, for there is no man that sinneth not, and thou be angry with them and deliver them to the enemy, so that they carry them away captive unto the land of the enemy, far or near. And yet if they shall bethink themselves in the land whether they were carried captive, and repent and make supplication unto thee in the land of them that carried them captive, saying, we have sinned and have done perversely, we have committed wicked, and so return unto thee with all their heart and with all their soul in the land of their enemy, which led them away captive, and pray unto thee toward their land, which thou gavest unto their fathers, and the city which thou hast chosen, and the house which thou hast built for thy name. Then hear thou their prayer and their supplication in heaven, thy dwelling place, and maintain their cause, and forgive thy people that have sinned against thee, and all their transgressions wherein they have transgressed against thee, and give them compassion before them who carried them captive, that they may have compassion on them, for they be thy people and thine inheritance, which thou broughtest forth out of Egypt from the midst of the furnace of iron, that thine eyes may be open unto the supplication of thy servant and unto the supplication of thy people Israel, to hearken unto them in all that they call for unto thee. For thou didst separate them from among all the people of the earth to be thine inheritance, as thou spakest by the hand of Moses thy servant, when thou broughtest forth our father out of Egypt, O Yah, Elohim. The book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 12, verse 13 and 14. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear Elohim and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. And Elohim shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. May the Most High add a blessing to the reading, the hearing, the understanding, and more so the doing of his word. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name I pray. Amen and amen. All
amen.
Right. Yeah, I wanted to thank everybody for participating last night. Again, it was a beautiful service. I pray that horseradish wasn't too, didn't blow your nose up too bad. But that horseradish surely should remind us of our slavery. We want to make sure that we are giving our Messiah his due. Because I really would love to broadcast the passion of the Christ to the congregation. Have us sit down and just watch that. Maybe I'll get it set up. My office is kind of in a mess right now. But, yeah, like I said, if there's one movie that really, that I've seen, and I don't really watch very many religious movies, but that is one that has, that did me in. It is just one thing seen, what you read in the scriptures, and it depicted, to the nth degree like they have it in the script. And to know that Messiah went through that for us. Even thinking about it just tears me up because, what if he said, I ain't doing it. I mean, where would we be?
Mm.
You know, where would we be? Mm. And for him to be faithful and just know what was coming, I mean, it's one thing when you ain't got a clue what's going to happen to you from one second to the next. You know, you in the moment. But when you have foreknowledge of it, I know this punch is coming from this direction. I know that each and every one of these strikes from this whip, I know them before time.
Mm.
That has to do something to you. I mean, it's crazy. Nevertheless, he was faithful unto death and delivered us from this captivity of sin. And I am just truly so thankful that he was faithful to the end, because we would be without hope. You know, we would be like, this is impossible. How do we get back? How do we make this right? So he made a way for us where there was no way.
Man.
Made a way for us where there was no way. All right. So we are still in Kingdom of Love. And on last time when we talked about this, we sort of got into the different types of relationship in Ephesians chapter 5. And the Most High was, you know, telling the husband to love his wife as he loved the church, as Christ loved the church, and was telling the woman to love her husband as unto Christ or as unto the Lord. And when we pick this up in Colossians, let's go to the book of Colossians, chapter 3. The book of Colossians, chapter 3. All right. And shalom, Sister Maria.
Hey, shalom, Brother Miles and family. And I'm so sorry to interject in the middle of your study. I wanted to let the family know that the Passion of the Christ is being shown on Easter night. On the Up channel. Yeah.
Okay. I might get that information from you. But I would recommend, if you have not ever seen this movie, that you watch it. There is just nothing like seeing it.
Amen.
I have a copy of the theater. I was just going to broadcast it over, you know, if I could bring my server up, broadcast it, you know, everybody just go to that room and actually broadcast it there. But, you know, this is something that, how do I say this? You know, I can't really put words to it. You know, for if you are a believer and if it's never really hit you what Messiah went through, there is nothing like this movie. It just puts you in a.
I think it's on YouTube.
It's just
too.
Different. It's on YouTube.
I think
amen.
So.
All right, amen. Well, I think I might see what I can do. You know, if we watch it together, because it's nothing like this. And I can't say, you know, if you really say, if you say that you love Messiah, and if you love him from the scriptures, and you love what he did and what he stands for, and then to know and see, not only know, but to see what he went through, it just, it really changed my level of belief.
Amen.
It just, you know, to imagine somebody going through that. And to save us, and we were treating him like dirt, our forefathers, you know, was treating him like dirt, didn't believe who he said that he was. Said he was from Beelzebub. It's just crazy. But anyway, it's just nothing like that vision. You know, and I don't care, you know, I didn't really get into the color thing. Because, you know, even when, before I knew who I was as a Hebrew, it didn't matter to me at that time what color Christ was, because he went to the cross even for me at that time. You know, it makes it all the more impactful when we realize that he was a man of color and that they did this to him. And they were still doing it to our people even 2,000 years later. You know, so it just, you know, when I learned that I was a Hebrew Israelite, first there was depression, but then, you know, the Most High just showed me, hey, I have a plan. There is a way out. And it just made my walk with him stronger because I realized this is our history. And anytime it's talking about the people in the book, it's talking about us. So it made my walk stronger and gave me more faith in the Most High. I believe I was told at least that I had, you know, that I was a very faithful person. I know personally within me it changed me. We have to do that. We just can't have this book and this story and understand that it's our history and not get this thing right. That's just unthinkable to me that we don't get it right. Anyway, let's go to the book of Colossians chapter 3. The book of Colossians chapter 3. And let's just start in verse 1. Kingdom of love. If you then be risen with Christ, things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of Elohim, set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. You know, this is strange. I've been waking up and listening to this program, and I, you know, a lot of scientific things I don't really listen to anymore, even though I'm a scientific, you know, I was a very scientific type of person. And, you know, I love science and math and that kind of stuff. And so this was dealing with that they say that they have, you know, they have scientific proof now that you have brain cells in your heart. Now, hear this. You got brain cells in your heart. Mm-hmm. Along with brain cells, you know, your normal brain. But part of the cells in your heart are brain cells. And so when it says, how do you feel in your heart, or what do you think in your heart, that's kind of literal. And so I was looking, I was like, wow, that's kind of crazy. I mean, we, you know, coming up, you know, the Most High said knowledge would increase. And so for them to understand or to find out that you have brain cells also in your heart that coincide, the way that we react out of those heart cells is unfiltered. Whereas, you know, you have your brain, your mind and stuff, you filter what you think and how you feel. But the heart cells, when you really want to know something, how you feel about something, it's that you need to learn how to count on your heart. Because it comes, the way that it answers you is unfiltered. So it will just tell you how you really feel, what you need to know. But I found it fascinating. But we want to set our affections, both in our mind and in our heart, on things above, not on things on the earth. Because this earth is temporary. This system that we're living in is temporary. And even the whole nature of this planet is going to change under the kingdom of the Most High. Could you imagine this earth with no seas, no oceans? Could you imagine it with no mountains? He's going to do a work. He's going to make all things new. And we're going to be different. You know, as I said before, once you're eternal, that means you can't die. That means you can even go into outer space and it won't kill you. Without a spaceship, it won't kill you because you can't die. And so the whole nature of the kingdom is going to be different. It's totally different. Verse 3. For you are dead, and your life is hid in Christ, is hid with Christ in Elohim. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory. So we're not going to be coming from heaven with him, as a lot of beliefs believe. But we shall rise from the ground if we are asleep in the instance that he decides he wants to come back when he blows that last trump. And the dead in Christ will what? Rise.
Mm-hmm.
So we want to be in that number. We want to do what it takes to be in that number so that we appear with him in glory. Mortify, therefore, your members, which are upon the earth. I mean, this is, these scriptures keep saying the same things over and over again. Fornication and uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is adultery, for which things sake the wrath of Elohim cometh on the children of disobedience, in which you also walk sometime when you lived in. But now ye also put off these things, anger and wrath, malice and blasphemy, filthy communications out your mouth. But, you know, this kingdom of love has a standard that the Most High wants to treat all people as equal in the kingdom, but everybody else, all people in the kingdom also has to have what genuine love one for another. And not in a filthy way. So, you know, even when we are talking and people are cussing and those stray words come out of your mouth, the Most High don't even want us to do that. You know, we have this profanity thing that, like it's a second language. And so we definitely want to put those things down, put filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deed. So if it was our nature to tell somebody what we thought they wanted them to hear, if it was our nature to tell them what they thought or what we thought they wanted to hear, we would lie to them. You know, even a little white lie is not good. And I hear Muslims, you know, Muslims believe that it's okay for them to lie to you. But the Most High said all liars are going to go into the pit. So we don't want to lie one to another or to anyone else. You know, let your nay be nay and your yay be yay.
Yeah, yay be yay.
And now put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, that word, my mind won't even go there right now, bond nor free, but Christ is all in all. And I think that's Scanthian. But put on therefore as the elect of Elohim, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Now this is one of the biggest things that you can do or you cannot do is not to forgive someone. To forgive don't mean that you forget, and it don't mean that you have to continue to have a relationship with. Okay? Because there's a penalty for transgressing somebody. There's a penalty for transgressing against the Most High. There's a penalty for somebody transgressing against you. Still forgive them. I love you, but I'm going to have to love you from a distance. Because, you know, you've proven time and time again that every time I forgive you, you take advantage of it. And I don't want to end up going to hell for not forgiving you. But that don't mean that I have to have a relationship with you. Not at this level. So there's a parable, and I love this parable because we may go get it. But in this parable, this man owes this king 10,000 talents. Now, let's just say it's $10,000. And the king, he asked the king, you know, the king said, you know, go and get him and give me my money. And the man begs him and says, hey, I'll get it all for you. The king says he forgive him his debt. Okay. And then he goes and he has a friend that owes him a dollar. Mm-hmm. And he won't forgive him that dollar. He has him thrown into jail. Mm-hmm. And when the king hears about it, he calls him back and puts this debt back on him. And then throws him in the jail until it should all be paid. But not only throw him in the jail, threw him, his wife, and kids in jail too. Until the debt should be paid. Now, when I read that story, the moral of that story is simply this. If you don't forgive people their debts, the Most High won't forgive you yours. And he'll actually put them back on you. So it's not something that you do one time. But you have to be, you know, of that mindset that if somebody offends you, and it's not unto death, that you have to forgive them just as the Most High forgave you. So you can lose your salvation for not forgiving somebody. This is how strong this is with the Most High. So you can forgive them. He don't say that you have to stay in relationship with them. If you choose to stay in relationship with them, then every time they offend you, you're supposed to do what? Forgive them.
Forgive them.
Okay. But then, you know, there comes a time when you might want to learn, I forgive you, but you know what? I'm going to forgive you, and I'll be over here. You be over there. And it's okay. And above all these things, put on charity, which is a bond of perfectness. Charity is a type of love, a type of mercy, a type of putting yourself to have empathy or sympathy for someone and then to move toward empathy for that person and then to have compassion on that person. And without the first two, you cannot have compassion. Because you can't have compassion on someone that you really don't understand what they're going through. But if you put yourself in their shoes, in their situation, and you understand what they're going through and how they got there, then you can have compassion on them. And maybe even help them out of that situation. So charity. We're to have charity one toward another. We're to have charity toward our enemies. And let the peace of Elohim rule in your hearts, to which also you are called in one body. And be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and spiritual songs, and sing with grace in your hearts to Yah. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, giving thanks to Elohim and the Father by him. In all that you do, do it in his name. Do you think that if everything we did in his name, we would doing less foolish stuff? So we're surely not going to invoke the name if we're doing something stupid like sinful. And so if we practice this, then I really do think that it would help a lot of people who struggle in their walk, or they would just become just totally disrespectful of the name. Either or. But we're supposed to do everything, ask everything in his name. Now, we went over this in Ephesians, but here it is again in Colossians. Why? Submit yourselves unto your husbands, as it is fit in the Lord, or in Yah. This husband-wife relationship, we know that the Most High hates divorce. He hates it with a passion. So whenever he had to go there with Israel, it really was because Israel, just, I hate to say it this way, but Israel was hoish when it came to dealing with other gods. They want to worship every other god that they could come across. Now, I don't know. I can't, you know, we're told never to really talk bad about him because he said if we were there, we would have done the same thing. But it's just hard to imagine. You see him split the Red Sea. You see him cause utter darkness all over Egypt, but where you're at is, you know, you got light. You see all the flies and stuff all over Egypt, but they're not where you're at. All the miracles that he performed in front of our forefathers, you know, it just makes it hard to understand how could they see those things and still murmur. Still not recognize who they are dealing with. Verse 19, husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. In this relationship, when we are in relationship with man and woman, husband and wife, and the husbands are told to love their wives and be not bitter with them, because it ain't always a cakewalk, especially if the woman is in her nature, which is to want to be in control. You don't know what you're doing. I know how to do it better. And that can be a problem. But then if the man is not in his place and if he's not taking care of business, you may be right. But the truth of the matter is, the man is commanded. This is a commandment not to be bitter against your wife. Because, you know, truth of the matter is, if I don't believe, and I can't speak for every man, but I don't believe that it's done in maliciousness. I believe that a lot of times it's done out of genuine love. But it can become an issue. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto Yah. When we bring up our children in the fear and in the admonition of the Most High, in the fear of him and respect of him, we also cannot be double-minded as parents, meaning that we are saying one thing and doing another. Because, you know, people have a public face and they have a private face. And I've seen a lot of people with their in public, oh, they just are sweet and lovely. They get home and Mr. or Mrs. Satan comes out. And they're different with their family and their kids than they are, you know, with people, I'm going to say, in the streets. But, you know, the scripture, we're raising in love our brother and our sister. That's who your children are. That's who they grow up to be. You want to keep them in that place of their as being your child, but truth be known, once they are grown, they are your brother and your sister in Christ. If you treat your brothers and your sisters in the world with respect, then you ought to treat your children with respect. And then teach them also to treat you with respect. You know, they can always be your baby, but truth be known, once they are grown, they don't really have to do what you say do. And if they're in their own house, they do as they want to do. Come when they want to come, go when they want to go, be with who they want to be, do what they want to do. And there's really no difference between them and somebody else that's out there in the streets when it comes to that. But when we won't let them grow up, and when we don't and we don't respect that they are grown, and we don't treat them like we would a brother or a sister in Christ, then I do believe that we make a huge mistake at that point, because that's who they are. They are your brother and your sister in Christ. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Now, this right here, being the man of the house, if you are not trying to raise your children in the fear and the admonition of the Most High because you're not following it, you still got worldly ways, they hear you amening, but in their heart they'd be saying, hypocrite. You only like that in front of other people. If they only really knew you. So when we provoke our children to anger, then they come to what? Disrespect us.
Mm-hmm.
And they will come against you in a way that makes them disobey the Most High in verse 20. They don't want to obey you at that point. And it may be not, and it may come before they're even grown. So as parents, you know, we want what's good for our children. Sometimes we are still dealing with stuff that we grew up with in childhood,
mm-hmm.
that we went through. And we may project that on our children. But the truth of the matter is that if you look at your son or your daughter as your brother and sister in Christ, and if they are fallen, if they are not walking, you know, accordingly, then you should approach them from that standpoint and try to get out of, that's my child, because that puts you very close to the situation. And sometimes when we're too close to the situation, it's hard to deal with.
Mm-hmm.
If we step back and say, okay, I'm going to deal with you as a child of the Most High, then sometimes we can come up with better ways to deal with the situation. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service, as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing Elohim. Now, this is one for Israel, but for anybody who has gone through slavery, you have to understand that you are in slavery because the Most High sent you there. This is something caused by the Most High. And he says, when you are in slavery like that, that you obey those that have the power over you, fearing Elohim. Now, that's a hard pill to swallow for a lot of people, because I'm in slavery and my master is mistreating me. He's coming in on me at night. He's beating my male children during the day, coming in on my daughter at night. But Yah says there was something wrong in your family. That's how you got there. And now obey, and not with eye service. So when they're around, even if this stuff ain't happening to you, but when they're not around, you're stealing stuff. You're doing things you ought not to do. So not what I service, so that when you're seen, you appear to be good, but when you can't be seen, you're not trying to obey. We have to understand that in all things, whether we are free or in bondage, if we belong to the Most High, we're His. This is now. When I think it's in the book of Ezekiel. I think it's chapter 36, where the Most High said, "You caused the nations to profane my name by telling them that you're my people and you're not in the promised land. And you're not in the promised land because of what? You were disobedient." He says, "Why are you telling the nations that you're my people?" That's heavy. But we have to understand that if our forefathers did what they were supposed to do, we would still be in the land. And we would be a much feared nation. And only because of who? The Most High Elohim. He would cause all nations to fear us. So he says, if you disobey me, like we read in the Kings, 1 Kings chapter 8, and we be taken captive into the land of our enemies. He said, pray that they have compassion on us. Pray to Yah that he causes them to have compassion on us. And here he's saying to serve them. And he says, obey all things your masters, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh. So we can't make this a spiritual thing and say, he's talking about Messiah and the angels and stuff. No, he's talking about men on the earth. When the Most High sends you into captivity, he wants you to also be obedient. So we can look back at Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and Joseph. They were all in some type of, whether it was prison or whether it was in slavery. But they would always tell the people that they were in those places because of who? The Most High. They understood that. They understood that the people had been vanquished for being disobedient to the Most High. And so they would be obedient even in their what? Captivity. Now, when it came down to eating the unclean stuff that the king wanted, I believe it was Daniel, to eat, and he wouldn't eat it, then, you know, the king didn't want to do it because he loved him. But he said, hey, I can't. These people are coming and saying that you're being disobedient. So I'm about to throw you in the lion's den. But he was all the time praying that these lions, you know, that he would come and find Daniel alive. But still, we're supposed to be obedient in our captivity. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily, as to Yah and not unto men. This is something that I think is hard for people to take into their heart. Yah says, if I put you in a place to chastise you, don't be disobedient and become more belligerent. Now, you wouldn't serve me when you were free, so let me see how you're going to serve these men. And then serve them as though you're serving me. Because if you didn't, you wouldn't, the problem was you didn't want to serve me correctly, so now serve them like you would serve them. Because remember what our forefathers said, we want a king we can see. Oh, when you couldn't see the Most High, you couldn't obey? That wasn't real enough for you. So now serve these men as though you're serving me. I think it's much better to serve the Most High and just do what he wants you to do than to have to go through this right here. Because then either way, if you don't do it, then you're bringing condemnation on yourself. Verse 24, knowing that of Yah you shall receive the reward of inheritance, for you serve Yah, you serve the Lord Jesus Christ. When we find ourselves, as we are, let's say in this case, scattered, and we're in the land of our enemy, because, you know, we may have, what do they call it, what is that disease they say you have when you sympathize with your captor? Like somebody kidnaps you, and then all of a sudden you start feeling sorry for them, and you're on their side, and they kidnapped you. I don't think that's Munhauser's. Yeah, there's a disease they call this, where you start sympathizing with your captor, and you start, you know, taking their side. But we have to know that we are being good and faithful no matter what because of who we belong to. So even in your captivity, you're called to be in obedience to whom? To the Most High. And to serve in whatever your position is as unto him. When I was in the church and when I first got filled with the Ruach HaKodesh, and I would go and, you know, I'd be out doing things at the church, and people were like, why are you doing that? And I said, because it's the Most High's house. Well, why are you watering the dirt? Because it's the Most High's house. They would think that I was crazy, but I would tell them, I said, hey, this service is unto the Most High. It's not as unto the pastor. Because I'm commanded to be in obedience to the Most High. And if he calls me out into the vineyard, and this is what he has me doing, and this is what he has me doing. Mm. And I'm going to do it to the best of my ability.
Yes.
So in all things, he's telling us, you know, if you have been scattered because of the disobedience of your forefathers, still serve as though you're serving me. And then people will say, oh, you're a fool. You're crazy. But your mind and your heart has to be on the Most High. It has to be on him for everything. And when we get caught up in our feelings, we get caught up in our situation. Like I said, when I first found out that we were Hebrew Israelites, I got depressed. I got caught up in my feelings. Because we are cursed people. And not because, you know, like I say, we're black, but because of what our forefathers did to the Most High. But then Yah had to bring me out of my feelings. And say, no matter what, you belong to me, serve me. And if our focus stays on him, it don't really matter any of the other things. Because as verse 24 says, knowing that of Yah you shall receive the reward of inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. But he that does wrong shall receive for the wrong which he has done. So you in captivity, you mad, you don't think it's fair, I'm not going to be compliant, and you do wrong. And the scripture says, what are you going to receive? You're going to receive a wrong for your wrong. And there is no respect of person. So we are commanded to obey the Most High no matter what our circumstance. And understand there's a reason, whether of your own doing or of your forefathers while you're in the situation you're in. And the best thing that you can do is find out why you're in that situation. And then repent for it. That's why I say, Israel, the Most High woke you up to tell you who we are so you could repent for your sins and for the sins of your forefathers. That's rough, but that's something that the other nations don't have to do. And we want to get back right with him, then we have to do it. All right, so verse 25 again. But he that does wrong shall receive for the wrong which he has done, and there is no respect of person. So the Most High, you know, don't worry about what your captor is doing. If you know that you belong to the Most High Elohim, then repent before him and ask him to deliver you, but still serve whomever you are in captivity to as unto Elohim. That's a commandment. So you see how easy it is for us to get in trouble with the Most High? Especially if we base it off of our situation, our circumstance. As soon as we learn the lesson, he'll come get us. If we're trying to deliver ourselves under our own power, you know, our people find out that no matter who we align ourselves with, good, bad, or indifferent, they always get what they want, but we don't get what we want. Have you ever noticed that? Everybody ties themselves to our civil rights. They get what we want, and we still don't really have our rights. Don't have the right to vote.
Amen.
So we have to stay focused on the Most High. And he will deliver us out of our captivity.
Amen.
He will cause the enemy to have compassion, even if you don't want to have compassion. If you are walking right before the Most High, they will find it hard to do wrong to you. Because he will be the one softening their heart. Just like he hardened Pharaoh's heart last night, he will soften their heart toward us. But if we are running around trying to do and deliver ourselves out of this captivity, and we're not serving the way he said to serve, you ain't learned your lesson. So, you know, when I say these things to our people, you know, they have hard times with this, but this is coming straight from the scripture. All of our answers are in the word. So as a people, we want it to be delivered, then do what Yah says to do. Because how is the world going to be looking at you and want to be like you, and everything that you're like is anti-Yah?
Like them.
It's like them. Amen. Then why do I need to come deliver you? Show them that you're holy. Show them that they shouldn't, you know, if you are righteous and they come against you, the Most High will deal with them. And so let him deal with them. But he can deal with them in a way that you never could. So we have to love the Most High the way that he wants us to love him, but also love our enemies like he wants us to love them. He says, if you in your land of captivity and you working for him, or you're in slavery like we were, he says, then serve them like you were serving me. And in the end, even though you were in captivity, in the end, when I resurrect you, you're going to get the kingdom. And you're not going to be a slave. And the roles will be switched.
Yeah.
So we have to be faithful to him always. Let us go.
Yeah.
Let us go to the book of 1 Timothy. The book of 1 Timothy, chapter 1. Paul, an apostle of Yeshua HaMashiach, by the commandments of Elohim, our Savior, and the Master Yeshua, which is our hope, unto Timothy, my own son in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from Elohim our Father and Yeshua HaMashiach our Master, as I besought thee to abide still in Ephesus, when I went into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine, neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies, which minister questions rather than godly edifying, which is in faith, so do. Now the end of the commandment is charity, out of a pure heart and of a good conscience and of faith unfeigned, from which some have swerved and have turned aside unto vain jangling, desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor whereof they affirm. But we know that the law is good if a man uses it lawfully. So the law of the Most High is the law of love. And everything, every law that he gave us was out of his love. And if we want to be in a right relationship with him. He says, but you got to understand the law. And there's a lot of people who teach the law that don't have any understanding of it. They think that it is, if I do this thing, they do it to the letter of the law. And I guess that kind of keeps them safe, but it also makes them where they are not able to see things that are in the spirit of the law, what the law was intended for. The Most High, the law is our, as the word puts it, our what? Schoolmaster. It teaches us what's right and what's wrong with Elohim, with what he considers. Let me rephrase that because I came out kind of crazy. It teaches us what the Most High considers to be right and wrong. And so the law is good if a man uses it lawfully. The law was never intended to beat us up. The law was intended to put standards and limitations on us. Limitations. Somebody got a beautiful chime on their clock.
I'm sorry, that's mine, Brother Miles.
Amen. So the law is good. If a man uses it lawfully. But if he uses it to try to beat you down, then it's not good. It's not good for him. Knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man. Why is the law not made for a righteous man? Anybody know?
A righteous man is going to keep the law.
Amen. So, it's just like the lock on your front door. Is it for the honest man or the thief?
The thief.
No, it's for the righteous man. The righteous man gonna honor it, the thief won't.
Oh, my bad.
Yeah, we think we're putting it on there for the thief to keep him out, but he ain't gonna honor it. The honest man, if he comes to your door and wiggles a knob and it's locked, what are you gonna do?
Go away.
He's gonna go away. But if he's a thief, what is he going to do?
Try to break in.
Try to break in. He's going to find a way to try to get in, especially if he don't think you're there. The righteous man obeys the law. It's not meant for him because he's going to obey it. He knows what's right and what's wrong. But the lawless and the disobedient. So verse 9 again. Knowing this, that the law is not made for the righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and for the sinners, for unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, and for manslayers, and for whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, for men stealers. You know how those men stole us into slavery? The law is for that kind. For liars, for perjured persons. And if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine. Now, so all these people who are claiming that they are not under the law, but they are lawbreakers, then the law is exactly for them. And they want to deny it. Oh, no, we're not up under the law. So we can fornicate, and all we got to do is say we're sorry. We can steal, and all we got to do is say we're sorry. We can murder somebody, and all we got to do is say we're sorry. We can commit adultery, and all we got to do is say we're sorry. No, the law is for you. Because the righteous person is not going to do those things. Verse 11. According to the glorious gospel of the blessed Elohim, which was committed to my trust, and I thank Christ, Yeshua, our master, who has enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer, and a persecutor, and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. Now, the one who's talking here is Paul. We know Paul was against the Most High. He thought he was for the Most High, and he persecuted the church, and he was injurious to the saints, but Yeshua gave him what? Mercy, because he did it ignorantly. In unbelief. He didn't believe in Messiah. And he thought he was doing the Most High a good when he was persecuting the church. And the grace of our master was exceedingly abundant with faith and love, which is in Yeshua HaMashiach. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Yeshua HaMashiach came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit, for this cause I obtained mercy. That in me first Yeshua HaMashiach might show forth all long suffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. Now unto the eternal King, unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise Elohim, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before unto thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare. Hold faithful and a good conscience, which some having put away concerning faith have made shipwreck, of whom is Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have delivered unto Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme. Okay. Verse 5 again. The end of the commandment. Don't be believing in wive tales. Don't be believing in genealogy. Don't be making those the most upfront things. But the end of the commandment is charity, out of a pure heart and of a good conscience and a faith unfeigned, love unfeigned, righteousness unfeigned, nothing fake. You know, if you don't feel a certain way, you ought to just say you don't feel a certain way about a person. Why? Because you don't want to think, you don't want to fake that you love them if you really don't. Might as well be real. But the scriptures are calling for us to have a pure heart and a good conscience. If you know something is wrong with somebody and you're like, I just can't go there with them, don't fake it. If you don't have nothing good to say, then do what? Say nothing at all. But keep your heart pure. Rough saying. Keep your heart pure. That's why a lot of times the scripture says, let your yea be yea and your nay be nay. And don't just run your mouth just to be running your mouth, because typically when we run our mouths, we're not supposed to. We will say something we're not supposed to, and we'll sin. Let's go to the book of 1 Peter. The book of 1 Peter. And let us get chapter 2, 1 Peter chapter 2. Wow, this sun is killing me. Starting verse 1. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisy, and envy, and all evil speaking, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. And if so be you have tasted that Yah is gracious, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of the man, but chosen of Elohim, and precious, you also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house, and a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices and acceptable to Elohim by Yeshua HaMashiach. Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay at Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him will not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe he is, unto you therefore who believe he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallow, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. So, let's continue here. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in times past were not a people, but are now the people of Elohim, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, that they may be your good work, which they shall behold glory Elohim in the day of visitation. Now, we as his people, that holy priesthood, that peculiar people, that people that the Most High considers most precious to him, says, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, all the nations believe that Israel is what? Evil. We move into a neighborhood, they want to move out. They claim we got all the drugs and everything in our neighborhood, which they put there. All the liquor stores, they put them there. So it says, they speak against you as evildoers, that they may, by your good work, which they shall behold, glorify Elohim in the day of visitation. Now, well, I just have to say this. They put those things in our neighborhoods. Why? Is because they know that we're going to frequent them. But if we walk according to the Most High, then their testimony should be that we are the people of the Most High. We don't need to put those liquor stores there because they don't use them. So that their testimony would have to change. They might not still want to deal with us, but the bottom line, they couldn't think the way that they do of us. So we want things to change, then by our good works. Not funding some rap star. Not buying the most, you know, the designer jeans. Not buying the cars with the 26-inch rims. But by our good works, because we take care of our homeless. We take care of the widows, the fatherless among us. We don't let our people go down, but we're causing our people to go down. So if we want them to not think of us as evildoers, then we have to have good works. And judgment starts where? At the house of the Most High. We have to start with ourselves. And we have to have that love for ourselves. But the root of our love should be who? The Most High. And because we fear him, we would cause the nations to look at us differently. So it's clear to me that our people don't fear the Most High. Because the nations would have a different testimony concerning us. And so we, out of love, understanding the kingdom of love, need to teach everyone that we meet that are our people, we need to teach them the right way. When we see them going the wrong way, we need to be able to have the strength to stand up and say, that is not the way. There's only one way, and that is this way, the way of the Most High Elohim. And not be afraid to say it to them. Verse 13, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man. For whose sake? What the scriptures say. Read verse 13. For the Lord's sake. See, when we disobey the law, even of man, who do we make look bad? The Most High. You say you're the people of the book, and you running around here breaking in people's houses and shooting each other up and robbing from each other and doing all these things, breaking every ordinance of man. For the Most High says, submit yourself to every ordinance of man for his sake. Don't make him look bad. Don't say you belong to him. Don't say you love him and you're breaking all these laws. So whether it be to the king as supreme or unto governors, as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. If we are doing what the Most High told us to do, if we are acting out of love, if we are, you know, caring one for another, our neighbors, the nations won't be able to come against us the way that they do. They could, but then Yah would surely handle them, because the only reason why he allows it now, because of the evil that we do. As a people. For so is the will of Elohim, that with well-doing you may put in silence the ignorance of foolish men, as free and not using your liberty as a cloak for maliciousness, but as servants of Elohim. So, we're supposed to be loving our fellow man, loving strangers. He says, but we got free. We got released from slavery, even though we came up under Jim Crow. But not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness. Because we wanted what they had. We had that spirit of covetousness. We want to be like them. That spirit of idolatry. Then we started doing what we felt, what it would take to do it and get it quick. And we know that they use any excuse. If we break a law, we get the maximum. Didn't matter. But if we were doing what the Most High said, would some of us still be put in jail unjustly? Probably so. Nevertheless, obedience is better than disobedience. Obedience to the Most High. Yeah, you treat us unfair, but my Elohim says this, and he shall deliver me out of this. Honor all men. Love the brotherhood. Fear Elohim and honor the king. Servants, be subject to your masters with all fear. Not only to the good and the gentle, but also to the froward, those ones that are wicked and talk crazy about you and do crazy things to you. For this is thankworthy if a man for conscience toward Elohim endure grief, suffering wrongly. So when we are in our captivity, even if they were treating us bad, the Most High said, do what? Endure. Tough servant in the kingdom of love. Loving ain't easy. Yeah. Verse 20. For what glory is it if when you be buffeted for your faults? What glory is it when you are buffeted and you are wrong? You shall take it patiently. But if when you do well and suffer for it, you take it patiently, this is acceptable with Elohim. So we're not looking to be men pleasers. Our motivation is not to please men.
Uh-uh.
Our motivation is to please the Most High.
Yeah. Wow.
And even when we are wrong, we do it so his name is not profaned.
Mm.
For even hereto where you call, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps. Let's talk about that for a minute. And think about who Messiah is. He suffered and was buffeted. He was hated. He was falsely accused. And he took it. They tried to arrest him many times, but it wasn't time yet, because when they arrested him, they were going to kill him. And so it wasn't time yet. But when it was time, then he was arrested. So he says we're supposed to follow his example. Even in the land of our captivity, he was our example. If we were kind to them, there's some of them that still would mistreat us. But we're still supposed to be kind to them. Verse 21. For even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps, who did no sin. Neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judged righteously. When we find ourselves being treated unfairly, we need to do what Messiah did. Committed unto the Most High. Yeah, you see how these people treat us. You see how we walk before you, doing righteousness, not sin, and they still ill-treat us. The Most High said, so did your king. And they killed him. But count it all joy, because your reward is not now.
Not right.
But we want to get in the way. We want vengeance ourselves. I ain't gonna let nobody treat me like that. And we would be being what? Contrary to the word of Yah. Give it to Yah. Verse 24. Who his own self bear our sins in his own body on a tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you are healed. But you were as sheep gone astray, for are now returned unto the shepherd and the bishop of our soul. Spirit of love, when you are mistreated, when the world does you wrong, when a family member does you wrong, then he says, remember Christ and how he suffered. And he is our example. Give it to Yah. If it's not his will, he will deliver you out of it.
Oh.
Some of us need a good beat down. I just have to put it where it's at. Some of us ain't going to change unless we get a beat down. But we're just that stiff-necked and hard-headed.
Amen.
But if we love Yah, and I have to say it that way, because he says, if you love me, do what?
Keep my
commandments.
Amen.
So he's saying to suffer it, take it, be like him, be wrongfully accused, be wrongfully used, committed unto Elohim, Because if you, you know, if you get these things because you've done wrong, it says, what is that? You deserve that.
Yeah.
And Elohim is saying, hey, yeah, I probably caused it to come on you too. But if you take this and you've done nothing wrong, he says, then it's acceptable with me. That means that I'm going to reward you for that. Because it's acceptable behavior. I told you, this is what I told you to do, and that's exactly what you're doing. So I'm going to count it to you as righteousness. So we have to always, always, always remember that we do this for him. I wonder if that's enough. Only each one of us can answer that for ourselves. But you see what the word of Yah says. Can you do it? Let's continue. Let us go to the book of 1 Peter. Where are we at? Never mind. Let's go to the book of 1 John. First John chapter 3. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of Elohim. Therefore the world knows us not, because it knew him not. Do you understand what manner of love it is that the Father has shown for us to make us his children? Think about that. Ty Elohim, the one that does not have beginning or end, the one that spoke the universe into being, the one that all things consist of him, he says, what matter of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of Elohim, that we should be associated with him?
Unconditioned.
Amen. Amen. So if we are like him, if we are truly trying to be like him, then the world should not know us. We should not be like the world. Because it knew him not. The love that Elohim has for us who are obedient. And I'm going to say that again, who are obedient. Beloved, now are we the sons of Elohim. Let me say that again. I see this flies in the face of a lot of doctrines out there. Now are we the sons of Elohim. Not becoming. Not going to be. But when? Now.
Now.
Do we believe that?
Yes.
Do we walk in it?
Man,
amen.
Yes. Man, yes.
So we can't be acting like the world, because we're not supposed to be like the world. If you want to be known in this world, if you want to be famous, if you want to be popular by the world, you really don't want or love the Most High. because it is contrary to him. Let me just keep reading. Beloved, now are we the sons of Elohim, and it does not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that has this hope in him purifies himself, even as he is pure. Whosoever committed sin transgresses also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. See, this is that message to every church out there that says that they are not up under the law. What is sin?
The transgression of the law.
So this flies in the face of we are not up under the law, because they say that without understanding. As soon as you sin, you are what? As soon as you transgress, you are back up under the law. Whosoever committed sin transgress also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. And you know that he was manifest to take away our sin, and in him is no sin. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth has not seen him, neither knows him. So can we be walking around willfully sinning?
No.
And say we know him?
Nope.
You got a problem. And so we have to walk according to the word. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that does righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that committed sin is of the devil. Plain and simple. If you are willfully sinning, you're not of Mashiach. You're not of the Most High. I don't care how much scripture you read. I don't care how much scripture you quote. The scripture says you are of the devil. For the devil sinned from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of Elohim was manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of Elohim does not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin, because he is born of Elohim. In this the children of Elohim are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever does not righteous is not of Elohim, neither he that loveth not his brother. So if you hate your brother, who are you of?
The devil.
Amen. Now, this is not Brother Miles interpreting anything. This is straight up word. And we either believe it or we don't.
Huh. Amen.
If you want to be a child of the Most High, you cannot hate your brother. If you want to be a child of the Most High, you cannot be willfully sinning. I know it's wrong. You got to forgive me this time. I'm sorry. The scripture says you're a liar, and maybe you just don't know who you belong to. In this, the children of Elohim are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever does not righteousness is not of Elohim, neither he that loveth not his brother. For this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. If we don't have genuine love for another, we are not of Elohim. Again, not Brother Miles' words, not Brother Miles' interpretation. But the word of Yah. Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, and slew his brother. And wherefore, or why slew he him? Because his own works were evil, and his brothers were righteous. Cain's heart was not right when it came to bring that sacrifice to the Most High. But see, there's something else that that sacrifice tells you. Do you think that was the only wicked thing that Cain did? Yeah. That was the most important, but trust me, he did other evil works. Because what did it say? It didn't say because his own work was evil. It said his own what? Works were evil. So he was doing other things. Marvel not, my brother, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Now, how are they abiding in death? Because they abide in sin. And the wages of sin is what?
Death.
And if they never repent for it, their end reward is going to be what? Death. Whosoever hated his brother is a murderer. So if you say, I can't stand them, the word of Yah says you're a murderer. And you know not, and you know that no murderer has what? Eternal life. Hereby perceive we the love of Elohim, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whosoever hath this world's good and sees his brother have need, and sheddeth up his bowels of compassion for him, how dwelleth the love of Elohim in him? Let me read that again. But whoso hath this world's good and sees his brother in need, whosoever has this world's, the goods of this world, the whatever it is that somebody needs in this world, clothing, food, shelter, and sees his brother have need and shuts up his bowels, you shut your hands of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of Elohim in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. In other words, put your money where your mouth is at. Put your actions where your mouth is at. Don't just say you love somebody and then see them in need and not do anything. And hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our heart condemn us, Elohim is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then we have confidence. If our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward Elohim. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of Yeshua HaMashiach and love one another as he gave us commandment. See, anything that the word is telling us to do is not, it's not a request. It's not a suggestion. It is a commandment. The commandment is to love one another. And if we don't do it, then we are a lawbreaker. And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he gave, which he has given us. So the Most High will give you the Ruach HaKodesh when he knows that you have the Spirit of love in you. So we are commanded to love one another. Love ain't always easy. It ain't always pleasing. Even Paul said, when one of you is walking contrary and they won't repent, love them enough to put them out so that their soul will be saved in the day of judgment. Don't let them keep walking amongst the saints doing what they're doing and bringing condemnation on themselves, greater condemnation. Brother, you think you're getting away with something?
No.
But you're not getting away with anything. And not only that, greater condemnation is coming upon you.
Yeah.
It was better that you not be around here because you can't walk and do those things to the people of the Most High and think that it's going to go well with you. It's just to do that out of love. That ain't easy. Don't do it out of malice. Do it out of love. Let's continue with this. What time we got? Got about 9 minutes. Let's see where I was going to go next. I think we'll stop here for tonight. And on tomorrow morning, Brother Isaiah will be teaching. And let me look at who his precept is. Give me 1 second. Brother Isaiah's precept will be, the devil has no power. He only gets what we are.
Amen.
Amen. The devil has no power. He only gets what we allow. That'll be 10 o'clock tomorrow morning. Central Standard Time. Let's bow our heads. Father Yah. Father, we know that you are love. And if you didn't love us, you wouldn't chastise. As you call us to the same standard. That even when it's not easy for us, that we judge according to your commandments. We judge according to your standard and not our own.
Amen.
Father, we just want to be faithful. If we use our own standards, then we might be respecter of persons.
No.
But if we use your standard is not a respecter of person. Doesn't matter what title we have. Doesn't matter what size home we have. Doesn't matter what car we drive. Doesn't matter what position we hold. But your judgments are the same, one and for all. So, Father, we just want to love the way that you love. We want to love our brothers and our sisters. We want to love them in righteousness. But according to your word. And not according to our own heart. Not according to our own mind. So, Father, help us to be more like you. Help us to not hate anyone. We don't want to be murderers. But we want to love just as you love. Give us a heart and the mind that if we should see anybody in need, that we would not be afraid or unwilling to open our hand.
Oh.
For thus you have commanded. How can we say that we are your people and see one of our brethren in need and open not our hand or our compassion to them? So, Father, help us. And we'll be so thankful to give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name I pray. Amen.
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 Father, as we go our separate ways tonight, encamp your angels around us. Help us to stay obedient. Keep us safe from all hurt and harm, seen and unseen. Until we meet again at the appointed time. Yah loves you. Let me say it this way, how my sister wrote it on her little letter. I love you, and Yah loves you more. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Love you too, brother.
Amen. I'll take all the love I can get. Amen.
Amen.
All right. Until the appointed time, saints. Peace and blessings.
Good luck.
Yahuwah, you live forever. Sing his praise. without you there's no need. I need a hand, cause I'm just a mess. You're always there, teach me the way. Pray that I never fall away. Yahoo.
Thank you for God. Goodbye.